Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the sixth Sunday ordinary time. Your readings came out of number 1107. 1107. Our reading hymn is 658. Seek ye first. 658. Let us stand and welcome Father Smith.
Thank you.
us pray.
Exactly, awesome. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all the rules have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill. Whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raha,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you call that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you are paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I tell you, whoever looks at one with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I tell you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but be good to the Lord all that you have.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. So corrupt that many of them were most financially and socially secure. The law promoted synagogue worship, and this allowed the devout Jews to carve out a way of life that would keep them connected to the Lord. This was strong, but it prevented them from being absorbed by the dominant Greek philosophy or Roman power. And this is the Judaism that has survived the loss of the temple and constant persecution for over 2,000 years. It demands to be taken very seriously and treated respectfully. Jesus most certainly did. He first tells people that he has not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Law and prophets mean the entire Hebrew Bible. Whatever Jesus does will be based on and can only be understood through what we now call the Old Testament. By fulfillment, he does not mean to carry them out or simply to obey them, but to complete them. This will effectively mean that he will draw out the full meaning of the law. This is dangerous talk. Remember, these people have based their lives on the law. They will listen to every word that Jesus will say, intently and critically. His first statement is reassuring. Men, I say to you, is a very Jewish way of saying that he was speaking with utmost solemnity, and that not the smallest letter of the law will pass until heaven and earth pass away. Therefore, he does not consider himself a lawgiver. His tone then changes. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness is a key concept in both the Old and New Testament. It can mean obeying the law, but also having a right relationship with God. The first should lead to the second, but often did not. There is much that was good and noble with the scribes and Pharisees, but many of their own rabbis would have agreed that they could fall into merely obeying the rules and not seeking to create a closer relationship with the Lord through them. Jesus will seek to show us how the law must be given, and at times even changed, for his disciples to demonstrate greater righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. This is a great concern for St. Matthew. As an evangelist, he will need to teach this to his listeners. But as a pastor, he will need to put it into effect in his community. This community was composed of some people who wished to keep the law more or less intact, and others who could barely see its significance. Therefore, he will emphasize to all that the law is the bedrock of Jesus' self-understanding and mission. Even misunderstanding a minor precept will make one least in the kingdom of heaven. He begins this by reassuring his Jewish base that they are being heard and their insights being incorporated. Yet he knows full well that being his disciples will require a deeper and closer relationship with God. The section that follows compares for what the law has stated with what Jesus now commands. Any Jew who listened to this would know that Jesus had crossed the line. He was saying that he had the power of God. Even people who heard him with pleasure may well have left at this point in horror. We started with this section today, and we will finish it next week. Matthew will give us 6 comparisons. I assume there were more. But he has chosen the examples of the ways in which righteousness needed to be included in his own community. so that they could live together by forming deeper relationships with God and each other. Let us just look at the first example today. Christianity was an urban religion, and this meant people lived very close to each other. Add to this, by becoming Christians, people had to sever many ties with other people, including parents, and would depend upon their fellow Christians, not only for moral support and human contact, but sometimes for the very basics. Require a very deep commitment to community, a very vibrant relationship with Jesus. Avoiding murder is not enough. Certainly obeying the law is righteous, but something more positive is needed for building the church. Ruach is left untranslated, but means imbecile or dolt. In the close quarters of Matthew's parish, such a sentiment would have had deadly consequences for church building. These people needed each other, and this kind of behavior would have weakened, if not destroyed, these bonds. The righteousness of the disciple must be reflected in the construction of the community. A good disciple for them means a good parishioner. From Matthew, this starts living the Beatitudes. And we will see this throughout the year as we read St. Matthew. We should not look for point-to-point comparisons at every turn of the gospel. It is the spirit of these special blessings from God which is important. Yet sometimes we can find one that is especially pertinent. The ability to quell potentially destructive anger requires meekness. We have been told in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the land. Matthew will tell us that Jesus himself demonstrated this. It calls us to live as well. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek. That you will find rest for your souls. Meekness in the scriptures is surrendering oneself to God, acting on this, especially in difficult circumstances. Meekness is required to build any community, and there's always the proof. Christians have ever known that it is not only a challenge, but a blessing. Even a blessing we are challenged to see and touch with the growth of our parish. Thank you.
eye has not seen, but have obeyed this.
Lord, Holy Father, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up. Two announcements. We have in our meet and greet next week, which is the annual Mardi Gras, King Cake and Beans and all kinds of other cool stuff. There are flyers, roll call flyers in the Riverview Church. They're not for you. We trust that you have a memory that can handle it. That's for your neighbors. So if you have a neighbor that you'd like to invite, or if you live in an apartment house, put it up, and we hope that it will attract people. We'll have another one for you next week for the Lenten practices in the parish, which will be rather significant. So again, that's not for you. It's for your neighbors and there's an information wall, or if you have something for the elevator, please take one and post it. The second thing is that you will notice in the bulletin, on the email and on the website, we have something we're calling the Fellowship of Young Families. That's for the people in the parish. Let's say pregnancy to 5 years old or thereabouts. It's for people who are raising young children, which I guess is basically most of the parish. This started by people at the 9 o'clock mass walking in the back of the church with the tables and trying to get together and sharing the information and helping them with parents get a little sticker shock of how much daycare actually costs. And yes, you do have to enroll before the child is born, and maybe even have to enroll, put some on waiting list for private schools before the child is actually born. These are things I know nothing about, obviously. So, this will be a forum for people to get together and talk and support each other. There have been some suggestions for speakers, and we'll try that as well. So please, there's an interactive form on the website and with the emails if you're interested. One question that has come up is you don't have to be Catholic. I think the first person who got back with me is Hindu. Nice lady, we're raising her children Catholic. She figures we should at least be able to do something to help. So it's open to anyone in the neighborhood who just needs a support. We're based here and everything. There's some speakers who will be a sort of Catholic, at least the district that have chosen. But it is indeed open to anyone who just needs help, support, and someone to talk to. So we ask you to take care of that. It's good to see Rita back after and that's right. Yeah. My leg, her hand, about the same time. It was not a good winter, so let's welcome her back. You realize that when you lose your hand or something, it's hard to really be mobile, particularly if it looks as if there could possibly be something slippery. Wow. Anyone have a birthday this week? Close up. They defy the laws of statistics every week. But now I'll ask, is anyone going on a trip or like you left? Again? Okay, come on, sir. But look, this is amazing to me. I've been, 3 years? I don't think I've had a single mass where I've been to bless somebody ask you to